But we can start counting the giants that were killed by the Israelites. Sometimes we think only David killed a giant. Go and read it. David's men used to kill giants like, oh boy. Go and read the story of Og of Bashan. Joshua and co. killed him. Of course, you know the story of Goliath. These men fought giants regularly. The time one giant almost killed David, the people defended David and killed the giant. It's interesting that God did not leave us one story as a reference of when a giant killed one of the Israelite warriors. That's to let you know that no trouble in life can overcome a child of God. But another thing, do you realize that many times Israelites ran away from giants? When Goliath was shouting, what happened? Every man below. They stayed in their tents. The first Israelite to come out to face him killed him. What does that tell you? As long as we are in our tents, the giants will look big. Listen, all the Israelites that died because of giants in the promised land, they died because they were running. Numbers 13, Numbers 14. God himself killed all of them. Every single one died because the Lord was angry that they were afraid of giants. I'm putting your life in perspective for you. Don't let the Lord catch you running away from challenges. I will say it straight. Some people don't like the prosperity preaching. I am a prosperity preacher. Amen?
Amen.
And you are a prosperity believer. Say amen.
Amen.
We cannot allow those who have used things wrongly, who have abused the process, are you getting my point? To create a new doctrine for us. The fact is, from the scriptures I have read it, the Bible says that John was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says something clear. That I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. It shows that God wants them to what? Prosper. It's in the scriptures. The fact that you have been poor for a long time. You are currently poor. Your grandfather was poor. Your great-grandfather was poor. And everybody told that you are from the untouchable caste in India. Does not mean that God has not ordained you for success in life. If you are an Indian and they say you are from the low caste, the caste system is a giant that must be overcome. Listen, read your Bible well. Giants never overcame the Israelites once they faced the giants. The only problem they had was when they ran. You know, those people used to make me laugh. So, let's even think about it like this. Goliath was standing. Bring one man. Why didn't you say no? We want to bring 50. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Why are you allowing the giant to dictate the pace? It was Goliath's idea to bring one man. I mean, is it not war? Is it negotiation? It's war now. Why didn't 10 men storm the man? You say, would they have been able to fight? They were funny human beings, as far as I'm concerned. The moment Goliath died, everybody, all the other Philistines, they ran. Okay, so were you thinking only Goliath will afford the whole of Israel? So these things were the battles of the mind. Are you getting my point? Once the man stood, even Saul did not come out of his kingly tent. The moment David brought the man down, suddenly boldness came to all the Israelites. I mean, I'm just thinking, why didn't 10 of you say, okay? Saul would just say, well, Goliath, you look big. It's not a fair fight. So we will not accept the challenge. We are going to send 10 men. Then the whole battle will start. Then the Lord will arise and you will win your battle. But you allow the giant to dictate the pace of your life. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to explain today? Life has what? Giants. Believe me, the giants are empty. The Lord did not give us any record of any giant overcoming any of the Israelite warriors. David had mighty men that used to kill giants for breakfast. Israel only had problems when they ran because they saw the giant from afar.
You know, I say to the Christians, you've heard me say many times, take politics as an example. People say, no, you can never win. You know, those days, PDP was God. The way Christians behaved. If you wanted to win an election, you had to be in PDP. If they are against you, you are afraid. Then God looked and said, enough. And they kicked them out of office. Now every man wants to decamp. But now the camping now is risky because better go and hide. Why they don't see? Otherwise, you go to London, they arrest you. You know what I'm talking about. This life is very funny. There was a time we thought PDP was all there was to it. Unfortunately, for that reason, many Christians did not try. And what God is saying that, listen, if you had bothered to try, you would have seen me bring down giants because of you. Giants will remain until David walk up to them. Did you hear what I said? The giants will remain until the Davids walk up to them. I've heard all kinds of stories. When you hear from Christians, very annoying. Those days they will say, you can never compete with Dangote and Sugar. And I say, who said so? But I used to argue because I was speaking from a scriptural perspective. They were speaking from experience. That the man will drop the price of sugar and then you can't compete and then you will die out. And then one day I heard the story of one man who killed a big company like that. You know how he did it? Just by the way, just a story. Assume it was sugar. And assume this didn't happen. Assume there's one company called Bangote Sugar, you understand? And they are selling in Nigeria and in Ghana. So this young boy came in and his own is David Dick Sugar. So David Dick Sugar wanted to come in and Bangote said, all right, what I'm going to do is to kill David Dick. So he crashed his prices below any level that was reasonable. So the other boy said, what will I do? You know what I'm doing? He started buying it in Nigeria and exporting it to Ghana. It wasn't Ghana. This really happened. It was between US and Europe. The man will buy it in Europe, export it, relabel it, repackage it. Maybe it's raw material. Carry it to the other country and use their own product to compete against them. It did not cross their minds what was going on. So as long as they kept the prices down below the reasonable level there, the man continued doing business. So they couldn't understand what is going on here. This man is not dead. They didn't know that he was buying their low one, carrying to the other country where they are not fighting the fight and selling there. One day they woke up, they were bankrupt. He was left alone. Now listen, wisdom exists till tomorrow. There are levels of wisdom that we have not yet discovered. And we can't discover them as long as we are standing there. The giants are too big. We cannot compete. I remember once I was discussing my wife and I discussed some of our friends. They said, no, the movie industry, those men is like a cartel. You cannot break. It used to get me on my, that used to get on my nerves. There was a time, listen to me. Let me say something. I said that earlier. The devil does not control times and seasons. God does. There was a time in Nigeria, if you did a movie, you had to have access to the movie theaters, to the cinemas. Then the time came, living in bondage. You remember that story? Yeah. I heard the story. I was watching a documentary on the Nigerian movie industry. When I heard this, I said, you mean this story is true? They said, yes. Actually, it happened that a trader in Lagos, in Alaba Market, imported VHS tapes. And they were not moving. So he said, what will I do? He paid some guys to do a film. They called it Living in Bondage. He put it on the VHS tapes so as just to sell his tapes. I've heard the story before, but I thought it was just fairy tale. Until I heard the men themselves narrate that, yes, that was what happened. Do you know, after that, cinemas died in Nigeria. Because if you now wanted to do movies, it had to go to what? Tapes. Tape business began to boom. At that point, small boys became stars. Small girls became stars. All of them became very rich all of a sudden. This was something nobody predicted. Before, on this earth, the big banks controlled the stock market. You wanted to do an IPO, you had to talk to HSBC. You had to talk those days to Lehman Brothers. You had to talk to these big men in the United States. Then the time came. Google said, we want to do our IPO, but we won't talk to you guys. We will handle it by ourselves and sell it on the internet. That broke that one again. By the time Facebook was going to launch, they set their own price. Mark Zuckerberg and co sat down and said, this is the price we want. And nobody could argue with them. Why? Times had changed. God had changed the times and changed the seasons. The other day, I think I saw a book being analyzed on a program on TV. I don't remember the name of the book. But the man was trying to explain that, listen, that right now, this is the season where you are anywhere in the world and you can do business anywhere. There was a time that to do business in Malaysia, you had to go to Malaysia. If you're a Malaysian, to do business in the U.S., you have to go physically to the U.S. A friend of mine lives in the U.S. was around this last week. And he told me when he had to build his website. He said, who helped me build it? He just Googled it up, found a young man in Malaysia. He lives in Texas. Paid the man. The man did the work, operated it for him, and that was the end of the deal. So all of a sudden, the world is literally a global village. And many of us still think it's a local village. What I'm trying to say is that times and seasons change. God will just use a time and a season to remove one order and put another order. And many of the things he wants to do, he can't do that now because David and Saul are inside the tent. They are afraid of Goliath. Challenges exist in this life. But the wisdom to solve them is always available to the person who bothers to get up and say, I want to solve it. Let me say this to you, and I'm not kidding about it. You can be in Enugu, and God will make you a billionaire, they are counting in US dollars. And literally, you will still be under 35. And that is not, listen, it's been happening for a very long time, you know that. One of the things I found out about people who emigrate to the United States, they make me laugh sometimes, some of them. And last time that my wife and I went for one of our conventions, that was about 2 years ago, a number of us preached. There were three of us. One of the brothers that spoke, he said that thing. He said, everybody comes to this country, and all of them think they must do a nursing program. He said, you can do your nursing program if you want. He said, but listen, what's wrong with what you did? Now, in the United States, nurses are needed because of the way the society is, all right? They always have a shortage of nurses. So a lot of people keep on doing that training so as to get into that area. But he said that, and which is true. Once I was discussing with my wife, I said, look, that my sister-in-law was traveling abroad. She's a lawyer by training. She's learning to weave hair. I was very angry. I said to her, there's nothing wrong with weaving hair. Are you getting my point? I said, but why are you not reading your law books so that when you get to the U.S., you start practicing law? But you know, generally, there's a block in the mind. Look, listen. Oh, God, I have many things to say. Generally, if you see those who move to the U.S., a profession that consistently does well is medical profession, the doctors. They generally, you see them, they settle well. Not everybody. There are those that are frustrated, though. I'm telling you. No, it's not everybody. I had a doctor working with me 6 years after he went. He was still trying to manage to drive a taxi. And at that time, he was at least 10 years post-graduation. So it's not everybody. But I want to explain the principle here. Please follow my principle. I look at this from a spiritual perspective. And I realized that there must be a spiritual reason for this pattern that you find. It must be because Americans, maybe they want a lot of doctors. Now, you see, I take things from a spiritual perspective, okay? I try to get them from a spiritual perspective. So I don't just look at the natural things. The natural order always has a spiritual undertone. It always has. And if you look closely, you'll be able to see it. Now, generally, if you're in Nigeria, and this happened to a lot of my friends, in fact, I think I have more classmates in UK and US than I have in Nigeria, my classmates, all right? Now, one thing is consistent amongst most doctors. There's a system that America has set in place. So by the time a doctor is going to America, he expects to be a doctor in America. He doesn't cross his mind to be anything else most of the times. So he prepares. He reads his books. He writes the exams. And the mindset is that America needs me. He works hard so that he can get a very good score so as to be able to get into a good residency training. And you know, they pursue that, including when they have to do odd jobs too. But then, no matter what he's doing, he pursues that goal. That goal is just central. They all do it. Some don't succeed in doing it. I've seen quite a number that I didn't work out for. They couldn't make the good marks, and they couldn't get into a good residency training. But they focus on that. But you know what I found out? Almost every other profession, they leave Nigeria with one mindset: I cannot practice in the U.S. Most of the lawyers I know that went to America are not lawyers there. I don't know one person who was a dental surgeon in Nigeria who's a dental surgeon in America. And they always tell you the same story. The place is protected. But you know the truth? I have a number of friends who went in there. They didn't have that mindset, and they broke into it. I like the story of my brother, Emeka. First time I went to the U.S., Emeka called me one day. He said, "Banky, I heard you are around. Oh, please, I'm in California. When I come over to Houston, we'll see." When he came, we talked. I heard the story. Let's make it long story short. He was my mate. I don't know, maybe, anyway, in school at the same time. I don't know who was senior. But when school at the same time, we're like mates on campus. He was in law. He did very good in law in Nigeria. He went over to, I think, Canada. Did a postgraduate there. Finished. Then from there, he moved over to U.S. His mind was, I am a lawyer. So he decided he was going to do law. Let's make a long story short. When he got to California, he settled in there. Did his bar exam. Did everything he passed. Worked his way into the system. He got a very good job. He told me that I can't work like this. These guys, they will kill me with work. That they earned a lot of money in California where he was working, but that he's tired of it. By the time I came that time, he said he was moving over. He just got a job. They advertised for a law teaching job. He decided that's what he wanted. He had a PhD by that time. That's what I want to do. He applied for the job. They needed two people. I forgot how many hundreds applied. They employed him, a Nigerian, another person. As of today, he's a temp professor. I'm not joking. Look, do you get my point? I'm talking about mindset. One of our brothers, when I heard the story, his wife is a pharmacist. They went to the U.S. She decided that this is what I know how to do. Do you know that I heard that she developed and devised a particular drug delivery system that made her a millionaire? But we just have a mindset. They are leaving Nigeria. Oh, they don't need engineers in America. You go there and start sweeping gutter. Sweeping gutter for 1 year is the will of God. Amen? But after the second year, you know you sinned. And you are being punished. Third year, you are still clearing cobweb. Please, I'm not going to bring up an issue here. You see some of these giants, eh? But once we decide these are giants, when we see them, we sidestep. Meanwhile, they are inside your promised land. Listen, your promised land has a giant. Listen, there are giants in your promised land. That one that doesn't have any giant is not where God sent you to. You are looking for where there are no troubles, where life is easy. It might be comfortable there, but that's not a promised land. Listen, you don't make decisions in life just because of difficulty. First, use prayer to locate where you are supposed to be. Once you've located where you are supposed to be with prayer and declaration of the word of God and patience and meditation, if your heart is, this is where I'm supposed to be, every difficulty is an obstacle to surmount. The reason why Christians don't succeed and overcome and enter their promised land, number one reason, that they see giants, they run. Let me just tell you something. Anytime you see a giant, and because of a giant, you run from your goal in life, because of a giant, you run from your dreams in life, because of a giant, you run from what you believe is the call of God for you in life. You are sinning. You are an adulterer. You are a fornicator, a liar, a cheat. All of you, the same group. Say, Pastor Banke, is it like that? Go and read your Bible. When it's casting people to the lake of fire, number one is the fearful. So when I tell you that you are sinning, don't think I'm joking. Many of the men that start walking in adultery and all of that, it is because they ran away.
when they ran away from the time of battle, you know what happened to them? They lost the strength entirely. So small demons of lying will jump on them. Small, a woman that he wouldn't have even noticed was there suddenly will become a temptation. Because he's seen the original sin. Go and check it. The time Bathsheba finally got David was when he didn't go to war. It's true. It was when David refused to go to battle. That is the problem. Listen, no. In this life, the inheritance that God has given you, it has to be taken. That's my message for today. It has to be what?
Taken.
Before I continue, let me just say something. You will possess your land.
Amen.
You have to. I said you will possess your land.
Amen.
There are no giants big enough to stop you. Everything that looks like a giant is something you are supposed to overcome. Let me say it one more time. Everything that looks like a giant is something you are supposed to overcome. What have I had to say today? Let me just summarize it, then I continue next time. Listen, the word of God is what describes our inheritance. It's not our experience. It is not the, listen, let me quickly say this. And I made a statement before, let me just make it again. The fact is that some people have abused the gospel of prosperity. Some people have abused the gospel about wealth. Many people have made Christians worldly minded. But despite them, the fact that the truth is still what? The truth. My friend came from the U.S. last week. I was telling you, we're talking in my house. Something led to it. I told him, I said, do you know this is just exactly what we're teaching last Saturday in Kingdom Word, and I plan to continue today. He asked me, have you read this book, Kings and Priests? I said, no. He said he plans to read it. He too hasn't read it. But he was in church, the church he attends in Texas. That his church, his pastor called some of them and outlined some things that needs to be done, that were the plans he has for the ministry, for the church, for advancement. And the summary of the need was $2 million. For your information, $2 million is bigger in the ears of an American than 400 million naira. You know, in Nigeria, we hear money so much, we don't even know again. You will hear that a former petroleum minister was arrested because $20 million was missing. And that one man accused her of operating an account that contained $16 billion. That's a $20 million. $20 billion. We hear it so much that one politician stole $6 billion. One day I had to explain to my wife. Now, listen, my wife went to school. In case you don't know, my wife is an accountant by training. She has an MBA. She worked in a bank. She can count. If you are up for sale, see my wife. Yet, I had to call her attention to the meaning of 2 billion naira one time. I live in a good part of town. I explained to her that 2 billion will buy our whole street and have change. She said, what? I said, yes. Let me explain. I began to estimate the value of, listen, fine houses left and right. I said, the whole street. You know, in Nigeria, we've had money so much. We don't know the meaning again. They tell a man put 4 billion inside GP tank inside the house. So your children now think that 4 billion is water. They can fetch it. Now, back to what I was trying to say. So you see, so when my friend said in their church, the pastor said $2 million is what they will be needing. He's a doctor. He doesn't have that kind of money. So initially he was like, what? Pastor, how did he dream this kind of dream? That was what came to his mind. Like, okay, all right. He said, the one man there spoke. I think he said the man is a Cuban American, came from Cuba to the US. And the man said how he used to be poor. And how one day God opened doors, he and his wife started some businesses, and the businesses are doing very well. And that the man said that, listen, told the pastor, that once he asked the Lord, what is all this money that I'm making about? And he got a book titled Kings and Priests. That when he finished reading the book, he decided that he was a king. And his job was to ensure that the priests don't have to think about money. So he told the pastor, don't worry, you have told us, it is now our job. You go and preach. You have told us, it is now our job. We'll work on it. I'm not saying I have to, I'm adding my words now. I'm not saying I have $2 million now. But you go and preach. Leave this assignment to us. Anybody who does not believe in prosperity, I think he's not busy. Yes, you know what I mean? He's not busy. He's not doing anything for the kingdom. He's not advancing serious things. Yeah. He's not. He's not. I like what Apostle came to say. He said, God punish poverty. I'm on his side. God punish poverty in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As Christians, we can endure hardship. But the Bible never said enjoy hardship. One of the reasons why pastors are always begging for money, there are two reasons. One, half of the reason they don't have sense. The other reason is that they are poor. Yeah, some people don't behave. They don't, you know, if you give them 10 million, they will need 15 million. If you give them 15 million, they will need 30. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about an average pastor. Let me just leave it like that. This is what will happen to you. You listening to me, God will prosper you abundantly in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, there are things you must not do so that you don't stop that word from coming to pass. From now on, don't ever speak evil of abundance. Some Christians have crippled their own ability to prosper. Do you know why? Every time they see a man that has increasing materially, they're angry. He's a thief. He's not spending time with his wife. How do you know? You don't even know his wife. You don't even know if he's married. Was he a big man? I heard a man. We're discussing one day. He said, no, nobody can ever make that kind of money legitimately. I said, it's not your fault. You're a teacher all your life. The man is a professor, so not as if he's a small man. The man is a professor. My man said, Oga, you know, you are a teacher all your life. So every time you've been keen up for salary. You don't know some people invent. Later on, I will talk about it. Wealth is not about power to do. It's the grace to control. It's not that you got up and you can. Those who are really physically, they don't get anything. It's the man who decides where you will dig and what you will dig that gets paid most of the money. I thought about it. I said, God, he said, no. You see, Master, money is not about, it's control. All right, I want to develop this area. You decide where it will be developed. That's the person that you call wealthy. See all these ones that people, you know, the Nigerian experience has corrupted people's mindset about what they call wealth. A man puts 10 billion naira in GP tanks inside his house. He's not wealthy. He's poor. He's poor. Look, like I told you, I'm just talking plenty. I've given an assignment today. First, last time we discussed about it, reorder your mind. Some of you have to make up your mind that the first million you make, you won't buy anything more than toothpaste. Why did I say toothpaste? I don't even know. Just looking for something cheap. Okay, slippers. Yeah. Some people have to decide that the first million, I'm not going to buy anything more than a pair of bathroom slippers. I won't buy trousers. If the one I'm wearing right now is torn, I will wear it. Not after the first million. So that I'll know that money is not about me. You have to expand. Don't be reading newspapers that the editor is poor. When I say poor now, you must understand what I'm saying. He's poor physically and he's poor mentally. He does not understand why people spend some amount of money to do. Listen, the other day I read in the news that I think Shell, one of these big companies, they stopped their Arctic drilling. They stopped drilling for oil, you know. You know why? They said that maybe the yield was. Let's make a long story. Now, what I'm going to talk about, let me make a long story short. What I'm talking about is that if they tell you how much money they spent drilling before they stopped, you will faint. I don't have an exact amount, but when they give you the figures that they spent there trying to see whether the thing will work, you will faint.
To the men who made the decisions, it's just in it like that. This it's part of the work. To them, you are looking at 10 billion because you are taking how many loaves of bread, how many, you know, how many tubers of yam, how many house rent do you pay? That's why you are calculating it. But they are looking at, okay, if it had worked and we got natural gas and we got oil, we'll be able to drill this amount and sell maybe about $15 billion a year for 30 years. That's what they are thinking. They will sink the $10 billion. It doesn't work, just a bad day. And they go, do you understand my point? Until God enlarges your head to be able to reason like that. Keke Napep is your portion. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, I'm teaching you how to possess the land. First, I've said God has a land for us. We'll develop it next time. Two, every land has giants. Three, you must never run because of giants. If you run because of giants, you have disobeyed God. You are walking in sin. And I'm giving an assignment today. Enlarge what? Your mind. Enlarge your ability to think. Let me just quickly add another assignment to you. Any Facebook group you have that's made up of poor people, come out. If your WhatsApp chat group is those who just, all they do is criticize and talk football, come out. You know what I mean by poor people? I don't mean people who don't have 1 million naira each. That's not what I mean. I mean those who cannot, you know, they can't reason. Their fight is still, poor people in this country cannot pay for NEPA. They are talking like that. Leave the face group. Leave the group. They won't help you prosper. Yeah. I hope you are getting my point. Anybody that settles down and sits down and says, why are these men of God flying private jet? Just say, from today, you are not my friend. You either my disciple or we don't talk. I have to teach you. Listen, I know what I'm telling you. If you join groups of people and they will sit down and say, all these men of God, they start university, poor people can't pay. Ask him, how much does it cost to produce that thing? He does not know. He's no longer your friend. Unless he's willing for you to educate him. Because I see poverty behaviors all over the place. A man settles down and tells you that half a million naira a year for school fees is too much. Why should anybody pay that in the university? And you ask him, how much does it cost to produce that seat for that person for 1 year? He has no idea. Then why are you talking? I told you the other day that one of my friends, one of my colleagues in the office, he didn't know when I told him that if to go to Covenant, you pay about 450,000 naira a year as tuition. The school fees. I don't know whether it's tuition, but the school fees you pay in a year for a Covenant University. He trained in Spain. He trained in UNN here. Then did his postgraduate in Spain. He said, what? That who's paying the balance? That fee is obviously subsidized. There I'm talking about ignorance. Leave the camp of ignorant people who amplify their ignorance by speaking about it too much. Do you understand my point? They keep on amplifying ignorance in each other. Talk to those who are going forward. Buy newspapers that analyze the economic policies. I hope you are getting my point. How much are you paying for, power right now? Ask yourself. Don't say, how can people pay? Ask yourself, what does it cost to generate? Don't think it's wickedness. The countries you are envying, that's how they pay. I told my friend in the U.S. in his house, he said he pays $700 a month for power. It never goes off, but $700. That's 150,000 naira a month in house rent, in power. In power rent. What do they call it now? In power bills. You know what I'm going to explain to you? Change your thinking pattern. You know why I'm talking to you like this? Aha, this is a prophetic word. God has removed you from where you are.
Amen.
He has taken you up to another level.
Amen.
Let me say it again. He has removed you already from where you are.
Amen.
And he has taken you to another level.
Amen.
Can I tell the story? That they went to pray for one woman who was totally crippled in a wheelchair. She could not move. She was frozen from rheumatoid arthritis. They prayed until the power of God came.
lifted the woman out of the chair and suspended her in the air. And that happened after they prayed for some time. And he looked at her and said, "Now, my sister, rise up in the name of Jesus and walk." And the woman was lifted from her chair by the power of God into the air. Did she walk? No. She rushed for the chair, grabbed the chair, and pulled it to herself. At that time, the power of God left her. She fell back into the chair. And the man of God said, "What? This woman, you have not an iota of faith." The woman said, "No, I just know that I'm going to die in my wheelchair." And she died in the wheelchair. You know what I'm talking about? God has lifted many of us out of where we are. He has kept us suspended. He says, "Stretch your legs. Walk out of this wheelchair." By our talk, many of us are reaching back for it. We poor people, they are reaching back for it. You know, there are giants in the land, they were reaching back for it. Many people are struggling every day to remain where they are by their words, by their talk, by their behavior. They have a small business right now. They want to close. They are looking for a visa. God says, "If you harass me long enough, I'll give it to you. But you're going to die average." Say, so take that business, begin to prophesy. Why? Because actually, I have lifted you up from where you are. Giants in the land don't describe my will. You read about my will from the scriptures. You hear about it from the teaching of the word of God. Then you walk according to what you have heard and that which you have seen in my word. If you find an obstacle on the road to that place, walk over it. Obstacles are plenty. They are meant to be overcome. Giants may be plenty in the land, but they never kill a warrior that comes in the name of the Lord. Never. Read your Bible. They don't. Every giant that survived, it was because the Israelites did not get up to face it. I'm saying to you, if you face your giant, listen to me, God has lifted you up already. Amen. I feel so strongly about this. Beginning from now, we'll continue talking about it. If you put your hand to anything, it will prosper.
Amen.
If you go for any deliverance service to deliver you from poverty, poverty will kill you. See, I'm warning you now. I don't mean that as a joke. Because you first have to admit that you are poor. That you are still under bondage. Listen to me. Right now, I tell you, you have been delivered.
Amen.
I say to you, you have been freed in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
These are the reasons why Christians are still kept in bondage. They are still rushing for the chair. One man will still come tomorrow and say, "The poverty of your great grandfather, today it will end." Tell them, "No, sir. It ended the day I believed. That right now, I'm walking in my victory." That anything, let me say it again, that you put your hand to, you will prosper.
Amen.
Don't tell me there's no job. You are a job. I hope you get my point.
Yes,
every day you are looking for who to bless. Today's our first teaching on the series, how to possess the land. This land, you will possess it.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads.